From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to Washington Watch. I trust you had a blessed resurrection weekend. I certainly did. But coming up, we might talk about that later, but coming up on this Monday edition, speaking in Ohio last week, President Trump said the U.S. would end its military involvement in the war-torn Middle Eastern country of Syria, quote-unquote, very soon. The Trump administration has also frozen more than $200 million in recovery funds meant for Syria. What would a U.S. pullout mean in Syria and the Middle East? We'll talk about that with Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. He'll also weigh in on North Korea. Also, last Thursday, Attorney General Jeff Sessions revealed in a letter to lawmakers that he had declined to name a second special counsel to investigate allegations of surveillance abuse within the Department of Justice, despite pressure from Republican Party members for him to do so. Instead, Sessions named a federal prosecutor in Utah, John Huber, to lead the investigation into Republicans' allegations that the FBI and DOJ abused a surveillance program aimed at former Trump campaign aides. Was that a good move? Attorney Ken Klukowski and Breitbart political editor will be here with his thoughts on the decision. And the left is attacking Fox News talk show host Laura Ingraham for a tweet she made about Parkland school shooting survivor David Hogg. And now advertisers are boycotting her show. Dan Gaynor of the Media Research Center will be here with his analysis. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you miss anything on your way home this afternoon, you can catch it all later right there at TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. All right, President Trump started talking last week about pulling all of our roughly 2,000 troops out of Syria. Now, they're there supporting the effort against ISIS. And we learned yesterday that he has frozen about $200 million in funds for recovery efforts there. With us now is South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham. Senator Graham, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks, Tony. It's a lot of heavy stuff going on in the world.
Well, it's just as dangerous as when we spoke last time. And I heard as you were talking about this issue, and you said that pulling American troops out of Syria and leaving it to the Russians and Iranians would be the biggest mistake of the Trump presidency.
Yeah, and hats off to President Trump for allowing our military to go after ISIS. We've pretty much destroyed them in Iraq. We got them on the run in Syria. Raqqa has fallen. There's still over 3,000 ISIS fighters roaming around Syria. We have about 2,000 American troops helping the Arabs and the Kurds destroy what's left of ISIS. If we left now, I think the conditions for an ISIS comeback would be great. We got them on the ropes. Let's pour on the gas here and keep our eyes on the prize, which is to destroy ISIS.
What effect would a pullout now have, not only on ISIS, but Syria in particular?
Okay. This is a really good question. I know the people listening to this podcast are big supporters of Israel. So am I. So Western Syria is under the control of Assad, who's a puppet of the Iranians. A proxy of the Iranians and a puppet of the Russians. Israel has had to bomb several times inside Syria, as Iranian bases are beginning to form, and Hezbollah is a proxy of Iran. And if we left, and the vacuum would be filled by Russia and Iran, you'd be giving Syria to the Iranians, which is a nightmare for Israel, because the corridor between Beirut and Damascus is a flow of arms to benefit Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. So if we left, ISIS would come back. Russia and Iran would dominate Syria. It would be a nightmare for our friends in Israel. And Turkey would probably go full-scale on in a war with the Kurds. Other than that, it would be a good idea to leave.
Well, I think people need to realize the Shiite Muslims that are aligned with Iran, or the Iranians.
The most important thing about Syria, just what you said.
And so they're in the minority, but they're trying to dominate. And there's a lot of concern. I mean, I've been reading where Iran is basically going in. I mean, they're, of course, we bolstered them with the Iranian nuclear deal, giving up assets, which they're using to prop up Syria, because Syria is in trouble. It's a war-torn country. Their humanitarian needs are great, and they don't have, I mean, their economy's devastated. And so Iran is propping them up. And so Iran really does have a firm grip on Syria. And if, as you suggest, if we pull out, we leave it to the Russians and to the Iranians.
Well, I just got back from Israel. So we went up on the Golan Heights, and the border with Israel and Syria, there were three towns on the border. One was in the hands of the rebels. One was in the hands of Assad forces with a Hezbollah element. And one was in the hands of ISIS about 20 miles down the road. So Israel is getting pressure on the Syrian border. But right. Lebanon, southern Lebanon, there's 160,000 rockets and missiles pointed at Israel, provided to Hezbollah by the Iranians. If the Iranians control Syria more than they are today, it allows a corridor all the way from Tehran down to Beirut. Correct. And that's a nightmare for Iraq. It's a nightmare for Israel. It's probably the end of Lebanon. With 2,000 troops helping the Arabs and the Kurds, we virtually destroyed ISIS. Our goal is to allow people to go back to Syria, build up the forces on the ground that would push back against Assad and Iran, help them, then try to negotiate a peace agreement that does not give Syria to Iran. That's the goal. And if we withdraw these forces, we can't accomplish that goal, and we'll put Israel in a very bad spot.
So, Senator Graham, have you discussed this with the president?
At length, and hats off to the president for going after ISIS. He's probably going to pull out of the Iranian nuclear agreement, which is long overdue. This is one of the worst agreements since the deal with Hitler. They get like $150 billion. 15 years from now, all the inspection regimes collapse. They don't even have to cheat to get a nuclear weapon. The Arabs are probably going to get one of their own. So President Trump wants to change the deal so that Iran doesn't have the potential to get a nuclear weapon down the road. He also wants to check Iranian influence in Yemen, in Syria, in Lebanon, and Iraq. And the center of gravity now is Syria. If we can destroy ISIS and allow the Arabs and Kurds to regroup and push back against Assad and Iran, we can get a settlement in Syria that would be good for the entire region. But Iran is on the march. They destabilized four Arab countries, and we're about to have a full-scale Sunni-Shia war if something doesn't change.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, my guest. So, Senator, the question is, why? Where's the president getting his advice on this?
Well,
because the Middle East is a tricky place. I mean, you see what's happened under the last 8 years, under the last administration, what's happened there. This place is just in complete upheaval.
Well, but when things are complicated, you try to make them simple. Pulling out in Iraq was a nightmare. Obama was told to leave some troops behind. 10,000 would have kept it together. He basically overrode his commander's advice. ISIS started in Iraq, then they spread to Syria. So every time we left Libya against sound military advice. So the president, to his credit, has followed military advice. He's taken the gloves off. This statement a couple of days ago really bothered me. I hope he'll continue to let General Mattis and General Dunford conduct military operations, giving us the best chance to destroy ISIS and contain Iran. I think he will. He's going to withdraw from the Iranian nuclear agreement in May if we can't get a better deal, and I don't blame him. Also in May, he's going to sit down with North Korea and try to end one of the biggest threats to world order, the North Korean nuclear program. He has done a lot to roll back ISIS. He has stood up to the Iranians, and he has finally got Kim Jong-un at the table. If he goes weak on Syria, I think he will undercut everything he's done.
Well, you mentioned Kim Jong-un and North Korea. I mean, I would have to say that this president in the first 14 months has done more to protect American security than we saw in the last 8 years combined. In fact, he's moving the opposite direction of the previous administration.
Amen. I couldn't. And so he's got two real hard decisions to make. What do you do about an Iranian regime that's on the march, that's turning the Mideast upside down? I think the first thing you do is you change the worst agreement since the 30s. by getting out of this deal or making it better. The second big threat to world order is North Korea with an ICBM that can hit America with a nuclear weapon on top. They will sell whatever they build. My big fear is if they don't use it, they'll give it to somebody who will. So the president's drawn a red line. He's told Kim Jong-un, I'll never allow you to hit America with a nuclear weapon. So now we're coming to a decisive moment. The maximum pressure campaign of President Trump, the fire and fury message, has worked. The North Korean leader is meeting with President Trump because the sanctions are hurting, and he really believes Trump would use force if he had to. So in May, we could have two of the biggest decisions any president's going to make in my lifetime, how to contain the Iranian nuclear threat and try to get North Korea to give up their nuclear weapons. I give President Trump full credit for getting North Korea at the table. Now's the time to close the deal.
So the best outcome, Senator Graham, when President Trump meets with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, what's the best outcome?
Is to have a small, short meeting where you tell Kim Jong-un it will be the policy of the United States to never allow you, Kim Jong-un, to hit America with a nuclear weapon. Your missile program is a national security threat that's unacceptable. We don't want a war. We're not here to change your regime. We're not here to bring democracy to North Korea or to unify South Korea and North Korea. You have to give up your nuclear weapons. Japan and South Korea, they don't have nukes, and you need to denuclearize, give up your nukes. And here's what I would offer North Korea. If they would give up their nuclear program, I would offer them a peace treaty to end the Korean War, which is still has never been ended. We're in a state of armistice.
Right.
And have North Korea, South Korea, China, and the United States sign a peace treaty after North Korea gives up their nukes. That would be the best possible outcome.
That's pretty big, as you said, one
That's
of the biggest
huge,
decisions.
Huge, but Trump is a big thinking guy. Everybody before him screwed this up. Every Republican and every Democrat allowed North Korea to play him for a fool. And one word of advice, I know we got to go here. The worst thing Kim Jong-un can do, is meet with President Trump in person and try to play him. Because if you do that with Trump, that will be the end of the North Korean regime.
I think you're right, and I think he probably knows that. I think he realizes.
I think he knows that, and I think more importantly, China knows that.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Senator Graham, as always, great to visit with you. Thank you for your insights. And I just before we go, we're up against a break, but I know that key to all of this is having a military that can back up the president. And I know as a military veteran, you see our armed forces are now being rebuilt as a result of the cuts that we've sustained
in the
last
decade. And this is the Reagan model. You know, say what you mean what you say, and be able to do something about it.
All right. Senator Lindsey Graham, thanks so much for being with us today. All right. Check out the website, TonyPerkins.com, and you can follow the links over. Still, a very, very dangerous world. But I mean, this is one of those things where, when you stand up, defend what you believe in, and defend the country, I mean, people take note, and you're willing to back it up, and the president is. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, both in the Middle East, North Korea, and, of course, the Iran nuclear deal. All right, don't go away. When we come back, we've got more Washington Watch here. Attorney General Jeff Sessions making an announcement next week. We're going to talk about it, or last week. We're going to talk about it this week. Hello, this is Tony Perkins from Washington Watch. You know, in all my years here at the Family Research Council, one of the things that encourages me the most about you, our listeners, is your willingness to help advance the things that matter most, faith, family, and freedom. Your support is enabling FRC to play a major role in the current administration's actions to protect religious freedom, as well as rolling back threats to pastors' free speech rights, just to name a few. But your help is needed for the work ahead as we seek to protect religious freedom in the military, and finally defund Planned Parenthood. Please stand with FRC right at this moment. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or make a gift by calling 1-800-225-4008. Again, our number 800-225-4008 or go to TonyPerkins.com. God bless you and may God bless the United States of America.
Hi there. Let's play a word association game. Are you ready? When I say Washington, D.C., what's the first thing you think of? If you're like many Americans, a word like corruption might top the list, but Christian might be the last thing you'd associate with Washington, D.C. Well, the truth is that Christians have voice in our nation's capital. For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been working daily to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. When the Christian worldview is being pushed out of the public, FRC is there to stand firm on a biblical vision for America. Will you stand with us? To learn more about Family Research Council and to find out how you can stand with us in defense of faith, family, and freedom, please visit FRC.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news and ways you can take action. Again, that's FRC.org. Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. In an exclusive FRC Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson and Colin Hanna explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, husband, and father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass.
Where is our country headed? Are we moving in the right direction? Mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. and join hundreds of Americans that want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, House Speaker Paul Ryan, Kirk Cameron, Kellyanne Conway, Secretary Ben Carson, and Sean Hannity. Don't miss the early bird price of $99 at valuesvotersummit.org.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right. Last Thursday, Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced that he would not appoint a second counsel to investigate the FBI. Now, as you recall, even on this program, we've had many members of Congress call for a second special counsel to investigate the misuse of surveillance laws, in particular, focused on Trump campaign aides. However, the Attorney General did say that he was going to select the U.S. Attorney for Utah, John Huber, to investigate the claims. Now, Sessions said he would rely on Huber's findings to determine whether or not to move forward with another special counsel. Joining us now is Ken Kulkowski, senior counsel at American Civil Rights Union and political editor at Breitbart News. He's written an insightful piece on the matter. Ken, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thanks for having me. Happy Easter. He is risen.
Yes, it was a great great weekend. I was just down home in Louisiana. It was a beautiful weekend in and of itself, just the weather. But, of course, it is the high point for the Christian faith in that we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior overcoming the grave. Let's talk about this. You say that you think Jeff Sessions has taken the right approach in terms of announcing that he is going to tap the attorney in Utah, U.S. attorney in Utah, to do this investigation.
Well, I'll tell you, rather than rely upon my own experience, I mean, sure, I've been around the block a few times as a lawyer, but looking to some top national authorities here, Professor Jonathan Turley, who, of course, has been a top legal authority, not one of us, you know, not a conservative,
yeah, not a conservative.
but been a top authority on this since the Clinton impeachment in 1998, this sort of matter. And also, frankly, I'm told, and I think it'll become public over the next few days, I'm finding out that there are some former U.S. attorneys general who also hold the same opinion that Turley has, and that is as follows, that they're calling this a brilliant move. They say what you have there is a U.S. attorney, someone who has already been confirmed as a U.S. attorney. He has all the authorities of a federal prosecutor. He can impanel a grand jury in Utah. Grand juries have nationwide jurisdiction. He could have a group of red state Utah citizens deciding whether to indict some of these deep state D.C. swamp people. here in the nation's capital. He has authority not just to refer this for prosecution, Tony, but he can actually file charges directly. He can take this to a grand jury to get felony indictments. He can file criminal charges directly and immediately. You don't even have to use a special counsel for that. He has all of that lawful authority as a U.S. attorney. And the point that Turley made is that the Inspector General of the Justice Department, Michael Horowitz, has a staff of 470 investigators, lawyers, accountants, agents, which is far, far more than any special counsel ever has. Just immense, just an army of investigative firepower. He said by ordering a line prosecutor with all the powers of a federal prosecutor to prosecute today, not having to hand it off to someone else, by pairing up a person like that with someone who has almost 500 investigators at their disposal. And then we find out in this letter, we found out Thursday, he actually teamed them up back in November. This is actually 5 months into the investigation. Turley's point was this. If you appoint a new special counsel today, those people have to get office space. They have to hire a staff. They have to start from scratch. You know, I mean, to put other people's words on it, it could be 6 to 12 months before you see any action off that because they need to start from the beginning versus two established offices now working together where you could see action happen any day now. So if President Trump wants to see swift and decisive action to vindicate his name and to hold possible wrongdoers accountable, that this route of Huber and Horowitz that Sessions has chosen is the way that will get him those results much more quickly and decisively.
So, Ken Klukowski, will there be strict parameters on what they can look into, or will this be will they be able to go wherever the facts lead?
Well, and a neat thing about this that Turley was making this point is that special counsels are semi-independent. A U.S. attorney is not. He answers directly to the attorney general. This means Jeff Sessions is in charge of this investigation. It's not in a black box that everything will be done in secret and maybe after months we'll get some sort of report or something. This is something that General Sessions could be supervising on a daily basis if he wants to. Now, by keeping the second special counsel option open, it means that even if Huber and Horowitz find things and report it as possible wrongdoing, but for some reason they're not filing charges directly, then Sessions has the option as a second bite at the apple of just appointing another special counsel, handing him that whole file, and saying, now do your thing with it. So this actually provides two routes for President Trump to get criminal justice action, law enforcement action, that, as I said, could both vindicate his name and could also hold accountable anyone who is actually engaged in wrongdoing. It's only under extremely narrow circumstances that a special counsel is required, and that is when there is an inherent conflict of interest to a federal prosecutor actually prosecuting a particular case. By having a U.S. attorney who's out in Utah, not part of D.C., there might be no overlap with staff. There may be no compromising personal relationships that creates a conflict of interest. It is possible that General Sessions has set up the parameters for a guy who has all the benefits of a special counsel with none of the downside, but always have the option, if a conflict of interest were to arise, to take that other route anyways. I mean, this could be a turning point in this situation. At least that's how Professor Turley sees it. And as I said, it's going to become public that there are some former AGs who believe the same thing.
Very interesting. Ken Klukowski, as always, great to talk with you, and we'll be obviously watching this investigation very closely.
Thank you, Tony. God bless.
All right, Ken Klukowski, to actually read his piece, he is a political editor at Breitbart News, and he's written about this, commenting on Professor Turley's explanation that he gave on Lou Dobbs last week. If you want to take a look at that, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. All right, coming up next, the left has once again set their sights on a conservative talk show host. This time, it's Laura Ingraham. Dan Gaynor of the Media Research Center is here when we return. Don't go away. Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council here in Washington, and we're defending and advancing the things that matter most, faith, family, freedom. Please stand with us right now. Our work depends on people like you who truly care about the future of our nation. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling toll-free 800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008 or at TonyPerkins.com.
Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. In an exclusive FRC Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson and Colin Hanna explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, husband, and father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass. Who is speaking up for Christians in Washington, D.C.? For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been your voice for advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview in our nation's capital. Stand with us as we defend the truth and preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. This is because transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. Yet even the federal government has stated that there is no evidence that gender reassignment surgery has improved health outcomes. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, over the past several days, a number of companies have announced that they will no longer advertise on Fox News' Laura Ingraham show, the Ingraham Angle. It's obviously hosted by Laura, best-selling author and conservative commentator. She's taking the week off this week. Reportedly, it was already scheduled. But amid the brewing advertising boycott over her tweet about Parkland school shooting survivor David Hogg, where she posted that she said Hogg had whined about being rejected from college. Now, she correctly apologized for that later, but Hogg has been, I don't know that it's really him. I think there's some people behind it, but calling for boycotts of Laura Ingraham. With us now is Dan Gaynor. He is the Vice President of Business and Culture for the Media Research Center. Dan, welcome once again to Washington Watch.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be on with you, and this is an important topic, so it's good to hash it out some.
Well, look, Laura apologized. I didn't think the tweet she put out was appropriate. It was necessary, but she apologized, all right? But Hogg's not backing off, and we've had some advertisers pull their advertising from her show. Now, this is not something new. This is what happened to O'Reilly. They tried it with Sean Hannity. This is a tactic that's often used. This is not just some kid with a Twitter account. I mean, there's something behind this, is there not?
Well, yeah. What happened was, I mean, his initial tweet was just, he seemed to be kind of trying to use use Twitter to overturn the decision by some colleges to reject him. And honestly, if I were in his shoes, I might have done that. She also criticized him. Maybe she shouldn't have, but it wasn't about the whole thing. He's a national celebrity for. He's a national celebrity for his gun control talk and the big Parkland march. And so what he did in turn is what's called brigading. He tried to inflict his something like 600,000 followers on her, and did so successfully. Even when she apologized, he still came out and has said some kind of goofy stuff since, including that she somehow bullied LeBron James. LeBron James goes by the nickname King James for a reason. He's the most famous current basketball player playing. He earns more money than I can possibly imagine in salary and endorsements, and he has 42 million Twitter followers. LeBron perfectly able to represent for himself, both on court and off. Yet she's accused of bullying. And then Hogg comes out and basically says, you know, starts giving this lecture about how, you know, certain behavior is bullying. But the stuff that matches that description seems to be what he's doing. And mm-hmm. I think he's reflecting, as you were saying, sort of outside influence. The real problem right. here is these people who have given infinite moral authority to people, and they've given it to him, they gave it to Stormy Daniels, they gave it to Colin Kaepernick. It's just this parade of anybody who says what the media want them to say. They're untouchables now. You're not allowed to say anything. You're not allowed to criticize them. And so whatever you do, that's the fault of the media. It's not the fault of any of the people involved.
So they're serving they don't realize it, but they're being used for a bigger purpose from those that want to really take advantage of the fame and focus that these individuals have to promote a bigger agenda. I mean, Bill yeah. O'Reilly said this. I mean, this is Bill O'Reilly. He said the tweet from @IngramAngle was ill-advised and Laura has apologized. But know this, the sponsor boycott is not some spontaneous uprising by companies. It is being directed by powerful, shadowy, radical groups who want Laura Ingram off the air.
Well, he's entirely right. You go back to even the groups who are behind the Parkland March, BuzzFeed, no conservative organization, certainly. BuzzFeed's very liberal, but it came out and did a piece talking about how Democrat groups, MoveOn.org and others, were involved. And that's the reason why the whole Parkland thing took off so much. They had professional expert communications people. They had tons of support by the media. And then you've got this symbiotic relationship where the media have created the perfect circle of news. They've given power to the Parkland students. They interview them excessively. They keep putting them on TV. And every time they do it, they boost their celebrity. And then they get the Parkland students to say stuff that in turn, then they get news out of it that says exactly what they want to say. It's just like Colin Kaepernick. He says exactly what the media want him to say, so they keep putting him on air.
But if someone challenges that, then they are attacked as being insensitive or indifferent to those individuals who have the celebrity status.
Because they've been created as perfect moral figures. And I mean, that's an impossible standard for the people involved, too. I mean, we saw the problems it's been for Colin Kaepernick. And we've seen it for Hogg as well. No one can live up to that.
Hey, Dan, we're up against a break, but can you stick around for a couple minutes? Because
yeah.
I want to talk about this, number one, with Fox and what they need to do and what they might do. And then secondly, the power of boycotts and who uses them most effectively. So we're going to continue this conversation, folks, with Dan Gaynor of the Media Research Center on the other side of the break. Then we're going to take your phone calls. I'd be interested to know how many of you have participated in a boycott. Now, these sponsors are boycotting the show, but as consumers, you can actually send a message to some of these companies. All right, we're going to continue this conversation on Washington Watch when we return. Don't go away.
Somewhere out there right now, a teacher is using a new technique, not to teach some new math method, but to control the emotions of children in the classroom. Sounds like a conspiracy theory, doesn't it?
It's not. Social-emotional learning, known as SEL, is a new catchphrase that now dominates public education policy. However, hidden behind the SEL claim of building kids' self-confidence is a statist agenda of social engineering that insists on total conformity of thought. It disregards the genuine individuality of students and their family relationships and requires monitoring and tracking of their emotions. Don't miss FRC's new speaker series event featuring Stella Morabito, in which she discusses how SEL is programming our children by enforcing conformity, invading privacy, and undermining the influence of family and faith in a child's life. Learn more at frc.org/SEL. Again, that's frc.org/SEL.
Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. The month of February marked the bicentennial of Frederick Douglass's birth, so it is a fitting time to reflect on the legacy of this great author, scholar, humanitarian, and entrepreneur who served five United States presidents. In an exclusive Family Research Council speaker series event, Reverend Dean Nelson, chairman of the board for the Frederick Douglass Foundation, and Colin Hanna, president of Let Freedom Ring, explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, a husband, and a father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass. Again, that is frc.org/Douglass.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council here in Washington, and we're defending and advancing the things that matter most, faith, family, freedom. Please stand with us right now. Our work depends on people like you who truly care about the future of our nation. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling toll-free 800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008 or at TonyPerkins.com.
Who is speaking up for Christians in Washington, D.C.? For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been your voice for advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview in our nation's capital. Stand with us as we defend the truth and preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, pastors, let me just remind you, coming up May the 23rd through the 25th, our Watchman on the Wall pastors briefing in our nation's capital. You can be a part of that. Go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. All right, we're talking with our friend Dan Gaynor, Vice President of Business and Culture for the Media Research Center. Great folks over there. Brent Bozell heads that up, a good friend of mine. Do excellent work. We're so thankful for them being there. Dan, we're talking about this effort to target Laura Ingraham. First, before I go to, I want to ask you the question, how do you think Fox will respond to this? I'm concerned that they haven't really stood up strong for some of their talk show hosts, which concerns me, but I'm not going to go there just yet. I want you to kind of just give the timeline of and unpack how this works, how they go after these conservative talk show hosts, how they go after the sponsors, what they're communicating to these sponsors, and why they're doing this.
I don't want to give them any more celebrity than they already have, but basically a lefty boycott group that has been targeting conservative organizations, conservative media, goes particularly after Fox, it goes after Breitbart and others. And its sole goal is to exist to try to take away their advertising. It will say offensive things. It's an anonymous group, so you have no idea. I mean, it could literally be like the boycott Rush Limbaugh operation.
Right. Well,
it turned out to be genuinely about 12 people working in their basement or their mom's home or whatever, tweeting on average once a minute. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
Let me stop you right there. So this is more of perception than reality when it comes to many of these companies. You have these people saying negative things about them, but these are not necessarily consumers that are reaching out to the company saying, "Hey, I don't think you should be advertising here. We're going to stop buying your product." A lot of this is just noise.
A lot of it is what are called on Twitter bots. Little tiny robotic, either phony accounts or actually automated accounts. I can tell you I've had some interaction with the organization online, and all the people who responded to me were obviously bogus accounts where they had like 12 followers. In one case, literally zero followers on Twitter. Well, I've never encountered anybody who had zero followers. Pretty much your family, your close friends start following you.
Well, I know some people, their family won't even follow them, but go ahead.
But so they use this to escalate. So what happens is companies get bombarded with tweets and then retweets and retweets of retweets. And then occasionally somebody, you know, real human being will chime in, and or some famous person will chime in, and then they'll retweet that one. And it's a self-fulfilling cycle. And it's being used and abused by the left to great degree. And frankly, it's the kind of, I guess, tactic that the media have accused Russia of trying to do. And I'll be honest, I'm on social media a lot, and I never saw Russia successfully do what I see these kind of organizations doing, which is perpetuate a narrative and do so with a whole parade of what seem to be bogus or questionable accounts.
So what's the antidote? I mean, how do you prevent? I mean, how do you push back against this? How do these advertisers are like? Well, let's take. I mean, we're talking about Laura Ingraham right now, but she has a lot of followers as well on Twitter. She has 2 million plus viewers. She's one of the top rated cable news shows. She's conservative. I know Laura. Well, I mean, you would think that there's a pushback. What's the plan to push back? How do you push back?
Well, I think the first plan has got to be the technological one. It's the stop Rush pushback. And that was very successful done by the Rush Limbaugh people. And what they did, they analyzed where the tweets were coming from in origin and were able to prove to advertisers how bogus the whole operation was. And then it went away. When advertisers are faced with, wait a second, this is all these accounts, we can track them back to basically 12 people. You're yeah, running from 12 people. So what happens is it doesn't matter if they get 2 million positive comments, if they get a whole bunch of negative ones, they just, advertisers run scared. And also the comms departments of many of these companies that are already, the companies already lean left in their comms
right,
department are usually
right,
former journalists who really lean left.
Right. So, but don't these companies run the risk? I think they do. But I'll ask you the question. Don't they run the risk of offending conservative consumers that are out there?
They do. And that's happened. There have been some responses. In fact, we've been involved in a few responses in the last year. But what happens with, ordinarily, these are all, it's all about politics. The weird thing
right,
about this particular case is this is not. This is David Hogg being offended because he didn't like the comment she made about his college. It has nothing to do with anybody's political agenda. It is simply the whole world turning because he's being encouraged, I think, by powerful people to push this agenda because the left hates Fox. That's
right,
all it comes down to.
Well, and Laura in particular, Laura yeah, is she's willing to say what needs to be said. So will Fox stand behind Laura Ingraham?
Well, I mean, I don't think they will push her out. I think this is in the land of internet infractions. This is like a warning ticket you get for going 8 miles an hour in a 30-mile zone. I don't think this will stick with it. And I think the outrage culture that we have now will move on to find some new outrage.
Yeah, I just think, you know, Fox, have, you know, they ought to be sophisticated enough to know that this is, they're being played by the left on this, and they should employ the tactics of pushing back and defending their own, in my view.
I think part of it is they're hoping that, I think they realize sometimes when you give oxygen to something, when you respond to it, you perpetuate it more than if you ignore it.
True, but sometimes things, there's enough oxygen to keep some things alive on its own for a long time. So
right, and then in those cases, you have to fight fire with fire. I agree with you completely.
Absolutely. Dan Gaynor, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you very much. Look forward to talking to you soon.
All right, Dan Gaynor with the Media Research Center. Good folks. Check them out. Go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, we're going to talk about this. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. Have you participated in a boycott? Now, boycotts, I mean, really, these things go all the way back to the beginning of this country, where we saw, you know, of course, you had the Tea Party, that, you know, we have the modern-day Tea Party, but you had the tea over the taxes. You had Benjamin Franklin encouraging people to not use sugar that was harvested by slaves to fight back on the slave trade. They're common. And but here what you have is you have, as Dan pointed out, and I want to make sure you hear this. By the way, give me a call, 866-372-7234. If you've participated in boycotts, maybe you've participated in the one against Target, which was quite effective. They haven't changed their view, but they certainly have had an impact on their bottom line. SecondVote.com is an ally that we often talk about here that gives you the rundown on where these corporations stand on so many key issues at SecondVote.com. But this is one way that consumers collectively can push back against an ever-increasing politically active corporate world. See, my preference, and I've said this to many CEOs, I'm not looking to get you to side with me on any political issue. I just, you know, your job is to sell widgets, whatever it is you do. Just stay out of politics. The left doesn't see it that way. The left wants to leverage them, get money from them, in some cases blackmail them for money, and hijack them. And they've done that quite successfully in the last decade, where we've seen the organizing by employees in these special affinity groups that have then basically held hostage some of these CEOs, some willingly, some not so willingly, to be used in these political fights. This case, I think, folks, we need to pay attention to see who are these companies that are refusing to advertise with conservatives. And maybe you need to reach out to them and say, oh, I see that you've chosen sides in the political debate, and you no longer have respect for conservatives, therefore I'm not going to buy your product. Sometimes that's what's required. All right, let's go to Iowa, where Kim is on the line. Kim, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, have you participated before?
Yes, I am participating currently on the boycott against Target.
And so how long have you been refusing to shop at Target?
I think it's been 2 Christmases now.
Wow.
As soon as I signed up, I've never gone back.
And, you know, I did that a number of years ago with Walmart when Walmart was weighing in on some stuff. Although Walmart did something good last week. They moved the Cosmopolitan magazine off the checkout aisle. But that's another story. So, Kim, at this point, you've kind of changed your buying pattern and habits, have you not?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I mean, I used to enjoy shopping there, but I totally disagree with their policy.
So where, may I ask where you're shopping at now instead of Target?
Walmart.
Okay. And this, what happens, my point is this, is once this is so protracted, that you, even if they were to change policies, they've lost customers. Because folks are just going to change their habits again. And so I think there's a long-term risk for these companies to pick sides in this. Kim, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate you listening and calling in. And being what I would describe as a good steward. Now, this actually, boycotts are biblical. They go all the way back to when, remember, Nehemiah rebuilt the wall. And they had these vendors that were coming in wanting to sell stuff on the Sabbath. And he said, lock the gates, do not let them in. He goes out, he tells him, he said, if you guys come back again on a Sabbath and try to sell stuff, I'm going to put hands on you. And he wasn't going to pray for them. So there is a basis for this and how we spend our money. There is a moral component of it. Are we furthering the initiatives and efforts of those who oppose the very values and morals that we know are biblical and are good for society? Let's go to Donna in Virginia. Donna, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
Doing well. I hate to tell you, I spent most of this weekend on the Facebook with the newmovement.org, which is a part of the Stop the Scalpings. And they have listed all of the advertisers on Laura's show with their phone numbers, emails, that people have literally just been calling and counseling their insurance, counseling orders, and counseling their Hulu and all of that. So I know you said a lot of those, and it's true, a lot of those are bots from the left, but this organization has really gotten themselves together, and they do this on multiple. I guess they probably got in on Hannity and contacted them for any kind of whatever it's
now
called.
These,
I'm a little bit nervous here.
Yeah, no, that's fine, Donna. So this is the ones encouraging people to contact the sponsors of Ingram Laura's show to try to get them to back off of sponsoring
her
show.
Her, yes. Yeah, there's a hashtag, I support Laura.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the pushback. I got you.
Yeah, the pushback. Yeah, to tell them that, you know, if you fire her or y'all stop, you know, supporting her and advertising, that we're going to quit, you know, using your products and buying your products. And they've got Progressive, which is from far left, those people, they're one of them. And a lot of people
that's
have
good.
Gone in and counseled there.
That's good. And that's how we need, that's what we need to push back on this. They need to know that there's two sides to this sword. It can cut both ways.
Yes.
Donna, thanks so much for listening, and thanks for being willing to call in today. Again, let me mention that I mentioned before, but secondvote.com, it's a great source to know where many of these companies stand on these issues. All right, very quickly, let's go to Trish in Virginia. Trish, 30 seconds.
Hey, Johnny.
Trish, go ahead.
Trish, how's it
going? Yeah, how you doing? Good.
I'm all for Laura Ingram keeping her job, and I will email Fox about that. And I will also blow up Facebook and Twitter and let everybody know that we are to boycott the companies that are boycotting Fox. I feel
good point.
About supporting
her. Trish, got to go up against the final break of the show. We're out of time. Folks, push back. Let them know this thing goes both ways. And I would encourage corporations, again, do business. Sell your products. Make your widgets. Whatever it is. But stay out of politics, okay? Don't choose sides in these things. All right. Thanks so much for joining us. Sorry I didn't get to the rest of the calls, but Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, I leave you with the encouraging words the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.